Hallelujah.
How many know sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes it takes a desert. Amen. But whatever it is, God needs to get a hold of our attention. Amen. And He always gets His point across. Amen. How many saved folks we got in the house tonight?
Amen. Got any saved folks?
Praise God. Well, glory. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Let's look like a bunch of saved folks tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got a great treat for you tonight. Brother Chris Arnold's going to be bringing the message for us tonight. God just blessed him mightily this morning. I'm just anxious to see what the Lord has laid upon his heart. Brother Chris, come take your liberty in the Lord. Everybody say, Lord bless Brother Chris. Amen.
Song. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just have a song in my heart. Amen. We heard it on the way to church tonight. I just want to kind of sing it for y'all. Y'all can sing it with me. If you drown me out, I won't sound half as bad. So. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, He's so good to me. Sing it one more time. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Sing, I love Him so. I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Amen. Is God good to you?
Yeah.
Amen. All the time. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. The title of tonight's sermon is Mercy. Mercy. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter number 23. I guarantee you most Christians in this house can quote this scripture by memory. But I want to bring out a special point in this that God showed me. And I trust it blesses you tonight. Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I love You, Lord. I ask You just to have Your way in this service tonight, Father God. Lord, take my lips of clay, take my voice, Father God. Lord, I ask You to use them, to anoint them for Your glory, Father God. Lord, this message, I believe, is for this people in this hour, Father God. Lord, speak to us tonight, Father God. Make us different than when we came, Father God. Lord, ignite a fire within us, Father God. Lord, stir us up, Father God. Shake us, Lord. Make us more like You. And we thank You for it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Psalm chapter 23. David is talking about the good shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Not my banker, not my doctor, not anybody else, but the Lord is my shepherd. The second part says, I shall not want. Not that I shall not want, but I shall not be in need of anything. Amen. When was the last time God didn't supply your need? He's always supplied your need. Amen. I shall not want. I really want to dig in right here. In verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You ever looked across a pasture that was just as green as it can be? The pastures beside it might be dry and crisp, but that pasture right there is green as it can be because it was watered. Somewhere somebody has watered that pasture. Amen? He waters us. He restores us. Oh my goodness. He refreshes us. He stirs us up. Amen. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He doesn't say, Brother Thomas, just go over there and lay anywhere. He said, I want you to lie down in this green pasture right here because I'm going to meet every need that you have. You see, a green pasture means your needs are met. Amen. He makes us to lie. Not that He causes us, but He makes us to lie down in green pastures. You ever get so tired and you think, man, I need to go lay myself down and rest. You ever get to where I'm just so tired, I need to go lay down. I can't even make a sentence make sense. And I've been up for so long and I'm wore out. I can't think straight. I can't see straight. I need to go lay down and rest. There's some people tonight that spiritually need to go and lay down and rest in the Lord. You need to go lay down and you need to just soak up His goodness. You need to soak up who God is. You know, we go through the motions, we go through the rotation, we go through, everything seems to be the same, and day in and day out, everything's the same, and nothing ever changes, and it's all the same, and we go through we get into a habit of doing things, because we as humans are creatures of habit. We need to lay down and we just say, God, I need You. I need You. I don't need what's in Your hand. I need Your face. I need to seek Your face, God. I need to seek You. We talked about a little bit in Sunday school this morning. The more I seek Him, the more I know about Him, the more I can understand who He is. And the more I can say, you know what, God, I don't know. I don't want what's in Your hand. I want to seek Your face. And I want all these things we said this morning will be added unto you. Not that I'll be driving in a Rolls Royce or, like we said, a gold Lincoln or whatever you have. All our needs are going to be met. All these things will be added unto you. Those things that we were worried and we were stressed about, we don't have to be stressed about anymore. We can go. We have a high priest. Hallelujah. We have somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be right in this by myself unless y'all get in here with me. We have a high priest that we can go to. Come on, somebody. And we can reach Him. And we can touch the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. And we can be made whole. Hallelujah. We don't have to go through the things we go through. We don't have to carry around the things that we carry around. We can go lay down in the green pastures. We can say, you know what? God is taking care of me. He's meeting every need. Everything that I've worried about, everything I've lost sleep about, God said, I got it under control. What are you worried about it for? I've got the whole world in my hands, but you're worried about it. You're worried about what's going to happen, how this is going to happen. Worried about your loved ones. You know what? I can pray. I can pray. I can't go to where they are, but I can pray for them. Amen. And I can say, God, get a hold of their heart. God, shake them up. God, stir them up. Get a hold of them. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not the rough waters, but the still waters. You remember whenever Jesus was in the inner part of the ship, and the disciples were in the ship, and they had set sail. And it began to get rough. One of my favorite shows I like to watch is called Deadliest Catch. Anybody ever watch that? They're going in these huge waves. For those of you who have never watched it, they're crab fishermen. And they're in these huge 20-foot waves, and it's cold outside. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm getting seasick just by looking at that. And they're at the mercy, and you can sometimes even see the fear in the captain's face. And when a big wave, what they call a rogue wave, comes sideways, and the captain, the camera will show, and he'll go like that. And he'll say, hold on, hold on. God never does that. God never does that. Listen, there's a captain of my vessel that He can speak to that sea and He can make it be calm. Hallelujah. He can speak to that wind and they have to obey. The disciples were worried because they're in 10-foot seas or however big the seas were. It must have been bad because they were fearful that the ship was going to be torn apart. So the ship that they were on, not a boat or not a little ship, but a big ship, they were afraid it was going to be torn apart. And Jesus was on the innermost part of the ship. He was asleep. They went and they woke him up. And he went and he stood on the bow of the ship and he said, "Peace, be still." He didn't pray a big long prayer. He didn't make this big elaborate, "Lord, I ask you to hear me." No, he had a direct connection. Come on, somebody. A direct connection with the Father is what I'm talking about. And the same person that we pray to. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because if I want to get a hold of somebody, I'm not going to pick up the phone and call Brother Jim and say, "Brother Jim, can you help me out?" Even though I know he would. I'm going to pick up my Holy Ghost phone and I'm going to call out to Jesus. And I'm going to say, "Lord, I need your help. Hallelujah. I don't want what's in your hand. I'm sick in your face, Lord. I want a direct connection." And all he said was, "Peace, be still. Be still." Sometimes we have to speak in our life and say, "Peace, be still." Hallelujah. But he said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." In verse 3, he says, "He restoreth my soul." He restoreth my soul. Now, I'm a car guy, and y'all know I'm a car guy. And when you do a restoration on cars, I'm amazed at how nice they come out. I'm amazed at how different they are. But there's one thing that everybody will always tell you when you do a restoration on a car. There's always a maker's mark on that car. There's always somewhere where the person that went and restored that car has went and done something to that car to restore it. Now, when Jesus came into my heart and came into my life, He not only cleansed me from my sin, but He restored me. He not only restores me, but He restored me daily. Daily He restored me. And He wrote His name on my heart. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. He wrote His name on my heart. And He said, "That one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine." Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. That one's mine. If you're a child of God, you ought to stand up and praise the Lord. Because He said, "That one's mine." You're not going, "Oh, hallelujah, the devil can't have you. That one's mine." Hallelujah. He restores my soul. Glory to God. He put that brand on my heart. And He said, "This one's mine. This one's mine." Hallelujah. I might have to go through the shadow of the valley of death, but I'm not going to fear any evil. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to fear any evil. "For thy rod and thy staff, the very thing that you use to correct me, Lord, they're the things that comfort me." Hallelujah. You comfort me. You protect me because you are my shepherd. Verse 1 said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Hallelujah. Some people are making their automobile their shepherd. Now listen, I got up a little bit early this morning. I went over to Walmart because I had to get some oil. And I went over there, and the only guy that's out in our neighborhood is out there polishing his truck at 7 a.m. I thought to myself, what in the world is wrong? He's got a pickup truck, man. Them things are made to work, and he's out there just spraying it with the spray and polishing it. And I thought, man, that dude's got an idol. It's pretty, but that dude's got an idol. And it's a pickup truck. And I told Laz, I said, "Man," I said, "you know, that pickup truck set him back about 50 grand, I imagine. I can't see spending that much money on a pickup truck." But you know what? He was idolizing that. And I thought to myself, my God, what have I done? What have I idolized in my life and set before you? What have I said? The Lord is my shepherd. But what if I had crossed out the Lord? What did I put in that place? What did I say? My wife is my shepherd. I love that lady and she knows it. But if I put her ahead of God, she becomes my shepherd. Come on, somebody. If I put my job, come on somebody, God said you have to work. Yes, you do have to work. But if I put my job ahead of God, my job is my shepherd. Let me tell you something. If my job is my shepherd, I'm going to want. If my wife is my shepherd, I'm going to be in trouble because she's human just like I am. Hallelujah. If my car is my shepherd, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. If my house, oh come on somebody, if my bank account is my shepherd, then I'm going to be in trouble. But the Lord, that David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now listen, the Bible tells me that every word that's in this Bible is meaningful. So David just didn't say, "The Lord is good." He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. But we put a period right there. And God said, you put a period where I'm going to come and be. You see, we think we get to the end of the line. And we want to put a period right there. And God said, no, I ain't done with you yet. I ain't done with you yet. Yeah, you did great works back then. And I was working through you back then. But I want to let you know something. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. It ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over till God says it's over. This morning we studied a little bit about Elijah. And Elijah, how he ran from Jezebel. Jezebel, now she was a piece of work. Now, let me tell you something. She was mean as mean comes. She was a mean lady. She sent word and said, you know what? I'm going to have your head by tomorrow. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. If somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I'm going to have your head on a platter by tomorrow, I ain't hanging around. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to see the outcome of this because it probably ain't going to work out good in my favor. Amen? But he said, I'm going to have that. And it didn't even come straight from her. It came third person. How many of you know if you want to get an untruth, let it come third person to you? Amen. So-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said that I heard that. That ain't even worth repeating. Come on, somebody. That's just the gospel truth right there. So he gets up. Elijah gets up and says, what am I going to do? And he runs. Now listen, I'll tell you right quick. I ain't running nowhere. I'm going to stand and fight. I ain't running nowhere. God built me for comfort and not speed. That's just how it is. He said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run. He gets up and he runs. He even leaves his servants a day's journey behind him. Now, there ain't no telling how far a day's journey is, but it's a pretty good bit. You can walk a good bit in a day, and I'm sure he was moving along pretty good. He goes up in a cave. Now, let me tell you something special about a cave. A cave is one step closer to the grave. You're only one step to the grave when you get to the cave. You'll get that later, and you'll say, oh, man, you're one step closer to the grave when you get to the cave. And he's sitting under a juniper tree. Now, being from Florida, let me tell y'all something. Us Florida people, we know what shade is. All right, we getting out of the sun. You know, everybody that comes down to Florida and goes to the beach, that's fine. We staying out of the sun. You know, we ain't getting burnt like y'all is. You know, we know because we've been down there. We know what it's like. So he gets under the shade, and he's sitting back, and he starts opening his little. God, you don't understand. I'm the only one that serves you. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody said, God, my whole church is going to hell and I'm the only one that's going to heaven. That's a whole lot of truth right there. God, I saw so-and-so at the liquor store. Pray for him. Pray for him. That God will get a hold of him and make that liquor taste nasty to him. Amen. I saw so-and-so smoking a cigarette. Pray for him. Pray for him. Pray that God will get a hold of them because you can't save their soul, but God can. Amen. I think so-and-so, they come in there and I know they've been doing drugs. Pray for them. Hey, at least they're in the right place to get help. So he's under the juniper tree and he says, Lord, I'm the only one. And God says, now wait a minute. I'm going to show you something. He said, come to the edge of the cave. He comes to the edge of the cave, and I'm sure it was begrudgingly. He comes to the edge of the cave, and Elijah looks. Now, this is the same person that God told, whenever you see Elisha being transported up into heaven, if you'll look upon him, I'll give you a double portion of an... Oh, come on, somebody. I'll give you a double portion of anointing. Oh, I felt that in my fingertips. I'll give you a double portion of that anointing that was on Elisha. Man, Elisha did some great and mighty miracles, but Elijah, he did a lot more. But Elijah was trying to put a period where God was trying to put a comma. He said, I ain't done with you yet. It might look bad, but I ain't done with you yet. And God grabs his big holy eraser. He takes that period and he takes it out. He said, I ain't done with you yet. There's people in this house that God's saying, I ain't done with you yet. I'm not done. Oh, come on, somebody. I ain't done with you yet. You say, Brother Chris, I can't this and I can't that and I can't this. Let me tell you something. Everybody that did anything for God told God the very same thing. God, I can't. God, I can't. And God said, all I need is your heart and your mouth and your feet and your hands and your everything. That's all I need. Turn your mind off. I got it. Amen. I'm going to take control of this thing. Oh, hallelujah. And he said, God, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he said, stand right here at the edge of this cave. He's standing. Now remember, the cave is one step closer to the grave. So he has the option of going back into the cave where he'll eventually be in the grave. But see, God's got some people at the edge of their cave. They're wanting to come out, but they're scared of the light. And, come on, somebody. I'm talking about a holy light. They're wanting to come out, but they've got things in their life they don't want to get rid of. They got things in their life they don't want to release. They got things in their life that nobody knows nothing about but them and God. And they don't want to get rid of that. God, I want to be close to you, but not that close. God, I want to be near you, but not that near. God, I want you to use me, but not like that. God, I want you to stay, just like Pastor said this morning, I want to stay at sea level. Don't rock my boat, God. Don't do anything obnoxious, God. Listen, there's some people that don't want to get close to the fire because they're afraid they're going to get burnt. Let me tell you something. They need to get down under the spout where the glory comes out because that's the only thing that's going to save them. Hallelujah. There's some people that need to get... Oh, my goodness. You ever not had a bath for a couple days? And you think, man, whether your water was turned... In Florida, we went through hurricanes. We didn't have no water. Let me tell you something. We was like... You know, we walk around and say, you like Lazarus. After 3 days, he stinketh. You be stinking. Amen. We what? You stink. And you're like, man, you know, I can smell me. I stink. So I know when I come up to other people, they're like, oh, my. You know, but it's all right because none of us got water. We ain't got power. We ain't got water. We ain't got nothing. When you get that first bath, oh, man, it feels, you're going to sit under there a minute. Hallelujah. And you're going to let it wash you a minute. Hallelujah. Then you're going to break out that Holy Ghost soap. Come on, somebody. And you're going to lather yourself up real good. Right from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. You're going to wash between your big toes. Hallelujah. You're going to wash between your fingers. You're going to say, God, I want you to get everything. I want you to clean up everything. God, don't miss one spot. I think I missed a spot on my back. God, get it. Get it. Let me get in that Holy Ghost shower. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything. Now people are scared, hallelujah, to get in that. People are scared to get in the river. People are scared to get overtaken by something they don't understand. It's all right. God ain't going to hurt you. God's going to take care. If you're in if there's ever the best place you can be, it's in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Don't be running from the presence of God. Because God said, if you're in my presence, you're in my favor. If you're in my favor, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to see about you. I'm going to make sure everything's all right. Amen. So he stands there at the edge of the cave, like a lot of us have done and do and are still doing. And God said, I'm going to show you something right now. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 18, he came through like a mighty rushing wind. Elijah saw the wind. He saw the mountain break into pieces. I've never seen mountains break into pieces. I've seen hurricanes do damage. I've seen tornadoes come through. But I've never seen a mountain break into pieces. And after that, the Bible says God was not in that. That was what preceded God. Oh, hallelujah. You want to know how powerful God is? That's how powerful God is. When God speaks, hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the earth was without form and void. And my Bible says that darkness was on the face of the deep. But what it says in verse 2 is the Spirit of God moved, hallelujah, upon the water. Oh, come on, somebody. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. How did earth come to be? The Spirit of God. God didn't even speak that. The Spirit moved. And that's what happened. My goodness. Come on, somebody. The Spirit moved. The earth was without, we were without form and void. And darkness was all over us. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it like I mean it. I was without form and void. Hallelujah. And darkness was all over me. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God, woo, moved upon me. Hallelujah. And I'm not the same person I was before. Hallelujah. He gave me shape. He gave me fun. He gave me passion. He gave me desire. Hallelujah. Every day was day in, day out, day in, day out. Nothing's ever going to change. It's always going to be this way. And the Spirit of God moved. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, some people need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. Just go on and let it saturate you. Let it change your life. Hallelujah. And let Him change you. You say, God, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Quit fighting it. Quit fighting it. God told Saul before he was before he got saved. It's big words, I know. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick. It's hard. You keep kicking and kicking and kicking. And you say, God, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. And God says, let me have it. Let me have it. Let me have it. Let me have it. It's kind of like, you know, you got that last $20 in your pocket. And you say, I'm going to keep this until Friday. And I'm going to make it. And man, it's hard. Because that needle gauge and that gas gauge is on E. And you're thinking, if you're like me, you're thinking, you know what? I'm going to put 10 bucks in there and be good. Till Wednesday. Amen. God said, put the whole thing in there. Listen, whenever that little boy came, we don't know anything about this little boy. We don't know his name. All we know is he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now listen, me and my sister right here, we understand that they were a grouper. They had to be. Because God gave grouper. Amen. So we were talking about that the other night. God had to make a grouper. Sister Susan said, I love grouper. I said, me too, sister. I know that's going to be at the buffet table. When, hallelujah. Glory to God. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He went and he didn't say, now hold on a second. I'm going to need me about a loaf of bread. That's about 1 foot long, I reckon. And I'm going to have me a fish, Lord. No. He willingly gave it. Listen, we overlook the miracle, but we miss the part where the little boy said, God, I give it to you. Not only was he given everything he had, because that was his lunch for today. Now, he couldn't go down to the local McDonald's or Hardee's or whatever and get him a $5 box lunch. He couldn't do it. That's all he had. And that's all he would be eating until that night. But he said, God, I give it to you. Now, I want you to watch how God works. He takes that little bit of faith that that boy had, that child had. He gave it. The Bible says the Lord looked at it. He didn't start tearing it up. He blessed it. He blessed it. And from that was 12 baskets of overflow. Come on, somebody, of overflow. And you ain't picking up what I'm putting down. Of overflow. Because God blessed it. See, what happened was that little boy said, God, I trust you. And I know that you're going to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. God, I know that you're going to make a river in the desert. And I know that you're going to make a pathway in the middle of the forest, God. I know that you're going to do it. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know where. And I don't know when. But I trust you to do it. That childlike faith. God blessed it. He simply blessed it. And then people were fed. Those people were sitting on a green pasture, by the way. Just in case you were wondering. That's what theologians say. They were sitting on a green pasture. But they had nothing to eat. And God said, I'll be your bread of life if you just trust me. God said, I'll be your water if you just trust me. What did those people drink? I don't know what they drank. But I know that God provided for them. The same way He does for us. He meets our every need if we put it in His hands. We say, God, I'm going to give it to you. Amen. And I got a little bit off my motorcycle right there. It's okay. We're going to get back on it. Somebody say hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I've been down some pathways. I've been down some roads. I've traveled some roads. I've been to places where I've told everybody, I said, some places in South Alabama, I'm going to be truthful with you. You got the pipe sunshine down in there. Because, you ain't got no cell service. There ain't no houses out there. There ain't nothing out there. But God leads me in paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. Every step I make is a step towards Him. Is a step closer to home. Like Sister Linda sung about. One day we're going to have the hands that don't hurt. One day we're going to have the feet and the legs that don't hurt. One day I'm going to have a glorified body that doesn't hurt. I know I'm still young, but I hurt sometimes. Amen. And I know the older I get, the more I'm going to hurt. I saw a thing. I said, congratulations, when you turn 30, here comes the pain. It does. But you know what? I can see, Brother Walter, the lights of home. Oh, sometimes I want to say like Moses did. Just set me on the rock, Joshua, and just let me view the promised land one time. Just let me get a good little view of what it looks like. Let me see what it looks like. You don't understand, we're that close. I might be in the edge of the cave, but I'm coming out. And I'm not coming out walking, I'm coming out running. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I'm running in the right direction. And, oh, hallelujah. And we're heading home. We're heading home. I don't think we as humans fully get the concept of what's going to happen. Hallelujah. One day, hallelujah, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Scientists say that cannot be measured. You can't, it's faster than you blink. In the twinkling of an eye, those that remain. He ain't forgot me. He ain't forgot about me. Somebody said, oh my. Somebody said, God's already come back. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. Because he's coming for me. Hallelujah. Because he's coming for you. Hallelujah. He ain't forgot me. Hallelujah. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. There's a joke there, and I'll tell you later. But those that are dead in Christ, shall, you can only imagine, glory to God. Those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. And then, though, oh, hallelujah. I'm like my wife. I've lost a lot of loved ones. I ain't lost them. They passed on to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. They got their reward before I did. Hallelujah. And they're up in heaven. They're looking down on me saying, come on now. Come on now, just a little bit longer. Dig a little bit longer. Dig a little bit deeper. Run a little bit faster. Go a little bit harder. The race is almost done. It's the bottom of the ninth and there's two outs. Oh, hallelujah. And you're up at the plate. And it's time. God says he's fixing to call us home. It could be today. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. We never know. We got to be ready. We got to be prepared. And those that remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to see my daddy. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about my earthly daddy. I'm going to see my heavenly daddy. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at him face to face. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. And I have a feeling when you enter into that kingdom, it's not going to be like this. We're going to be entering in saying, woo! Ooh, glory. We ain't going to be silent. Hallelujah. I guarantee that. We're going to say glory, glory, glory. And we're going to say, wow, do you believe that? Do you believe that? I can't believe what I'm seeing. Wow. What's the gates going to look like? Streets of pure gold. I ain't never seen that. Wow. And we're going to see him face to face. Oh, man, I've seen his hand at work, and I've seen some beautiful things that he's done. But to see him face to face, oh, my. Oh, we're going to forget, hallelujah, that Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed within us. Woo, hallelujah. And he also said, within me, that is within myself, there dwelleth no good thing. Ain't nothing good in this old body, but because God came into it. Oh, hallelujah. He resurrected what was dead. Hallelujah. Oh, I said he resurrected what was dead. I was dead. Hallelujah. And he resurrected me. Hallelujah. A lot of people are already in the grave. They've been in there for a long time. You can tell they're ice cold. Amen or oh me. They're ice cold. They can sit there and it doesn't affect them. There's something wrong, people. There's something wrong. If you get close to the fire and you don't feel it, oh, there's something, I'm telling you the truth right here. There's something wrong. If you get close to that fire and you don't feel a fire, you need to get in the fire. Amen. Let it consume you. Amen. Those people are ice cold. And God is trying to stand up, just like he did Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, anytime my son gets introduced to anybody, he always says, and I came forth. I think it's pretty funny because he's just comical like his dad sometimes, right? So he said, Lazarus, come forth. He called him by name. Theologians say that if Jesus would have not called him by name, everybody who was dead would have had no choice. Oh, they weren't given the option, you see. they would have had to come forth. Oh my goodness. If he would have just said, come forth, everybody would have said, whoop, here we are by the power of his words. Oh my goodness. He can speak it and it comes to pass. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. Oh, just let that sink in one time. That's the kind of God we serve. But he's calling people out. Lazarus, come forth. He's calling you out from your spiritual graveyard right now and saying, Chris, come forth. When he said live, I had to breathe. There was a time when I was like the old catfish out of water. I was flopping around. I was barely breathing. I was alive, but barely breathing. My spiritual pulse and my spiritual heart rate was in ICU. I was on critical level. I was in intensive care. But Satan thought I was in the hospital. But God said, no, he's coming out of that hospital. He's coming out. He ain't fixing to go into the grave. Listen, generally when they put you in the ICU, it's intensive care. It's critical. You're in a critical state. You're one step close to the grave. You're in the cave. Spiritually, I was in the cave. And spiritually, oh, hallelujah, we've all been there. Come on, we can look down our high nose and we can say, oh, bless God, I've never been there. If you've been in this thing for very long at all, you've been there. You've been in the cave. You've sat under the juniper tree. You know, your name's carved in the juniper tree. We know, I know, I saw it there. Amen. It said, Brother Walter. I said, Brother Walter done been here, and God rescued him. He can do the same for me. If he did it for him, he'd do it for me. If he did it for you, he'd do it for me. Hallelujah. Resurrect me, Lord. Resurrect me, Lord. I'm talking about help me. Help me because I can't help myself. Help me. You ever get so weak and you say, God, I can't. I just can't go on anymore. And God said, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Because it's just a little while longer, like I said a while ago. And you can see the lights. You can see the lights. I can begin to see the lights of that city. I've been driving around in the darkness for a long time. But I can see the lights of that city. And I know that one day I'll be in that city forevermore. Hallelujah. Paul also said at the end of that, so comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Not that it might be, or I hope it is, but Paul said, it's fixing to happen. It's fixing to happen. That's how it's going to happen. Listen, I've been in this thing since I was about 5 years old. I've heard the messages, and I've heard Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And let me tell you something. I prayed so hard whenever I was in the single world. I said, God, don't come back until I get married. Praise God. I want to get married. God honored that. Plus, he put another 19 years on it. Amen. But I remember praying that. I remember that's the only time I ever prayed, God, don't come back. God, don't come back today because I want to get married. I want to have a family. I know that sounds silly, but that was my heart's desire. I want to get married. But you know what? God honored that. And God, I've heard it over and over and over and over again. And sometimes you can hear things so often you think, yeah, 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 I know, I know, I know. But let me tell you something, it's real. It's real. Heaven is a real place. I'm really going to go there. You're really going to go there. Amen. 1,600 miles wide. Woo, man. I start thinking about it and I get excited. Oh, 1,600 miles wide. The mansions are standing side by side. Oh, hallelujah, but that ain't what heaven is. The streets are pure as gold, but that ain't what heaven is. Oh, hallelujah, come on somebody. I'm going to see my Jesus face to face. I'm going to look on his face. Oh, hallelujah. What am I going to do? Am I going to be able to say anything? I'm probably just going to go, wow. You know, wow, it's my Jesus. It's the one that bled and died for me, Brother Walter. I want to look at his hands. I want to see his hands and say, you did that for me. He did that for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I ain't got to worry about a light bill. I ain't got to worry about a car payment. I ain't got to worry about insurance. I ain't got to worry about anything else. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You talk about lying down in green pastures. Come on, somebody. We're going to rest in the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to work for the Lord. What better boss to have than the Lord himself? Amen. Hallelujah. There'll be no more darkness, the Bible says, for he is the light. He is the light. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul, verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, I will fear no evil. I might see Satan coming at me, and he might come at me one way, but my Bible tells me he's going to leave seven different ways. Oh, hallelujah, because my God's going to get him. Because there's a hedge of protection. Come on, somebody. There's a hedge of protection round about me. Oh, hallelujah. I might see the fiery darts, but they're not going to hit me. Because there's a bloodline that's been applied to my life. Come on, somebody. This is where you need to shout and rejoice. Because what the devil tried to do to you, the devil tried to steal, kill, and destroy. The reason why it said, the Bible says that like that. We say it and we don't even think twice about it. He wants to steal everything that you have. He wants to kill you because that's not enough. He wants to completely destroy you. He wants to destroy you after you're dead. He wants to annihilate you, for lack of a better word. He wants to completely and utterly take you out. Now, we pamper around with the devil and we say, you know what? It's just a little sin. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. The devil's laughing all the way to the bank. He's laughing because he's got you fooled. And he's singing some people a lullaby. And they're just... And they're going on to spiritual sleep. And in that spiritual sleep, they might not wake up from. Because the devil ain't playing around. Amen? I'm trying to speed up. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 6. This is where I really want to get. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy. Whew. Goodness and mercy. They sing that song. Oh my. Every time they sing it. And this morning they sung it. Every part of it says, every morning mercy will restore me. I'm about to come out of my skin every time they sing that. Because I think, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my, some of the days. Not when I'm having a good day or when I'm having a bad day, but A-L-L. That's all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It doesn't say for life because that's a short span of time. It said forever. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Where time is, I am. He said, I am. Amen. Flip over to 2 Samuel chapter number 4. Right quick. If you listen fast, I'll talk fast. Okay, that's funny to somebody. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. This is where I really want to get. Mercy. Mercy. Unmerited favor. Mercy. So when you didn't deserve it, you got mercy. Amen? 4:4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. If there was ever a name that you need to remember, it's Mephibosheth. He lived in Lodabar. Lodabar wasn't a place you tell everybody you was from. It wasn't exactly a high-end place. It was, as they say, from the other end of the tracks. It was a bad place. At 5 years old, he had an accident. It wasn't of his control. He was running for his life. He fell. We don't know how he fell. We don't know exactly what happened. But he was lame from that day forward. Everybody forgot about him. He was useless to society. He thought he was useless to everybody. Now, I can imagine that he was in a state of deep depression. I can imagine, as we all would be if we got injured, we would feel helpless. I'll never forget, in 2007, I've always been a big, strong man, good worker. I did firewood. I dealt with in a junkyard with auto parts. Now, I'll never forget when I was loading up an engine, and the engine fell on my leg, and the engine went through my leg. And I'll never forget, I thought I was invincible, Brother Thomas. I found out real quick that I was human. For the next month, I had crutches, and I pretty much had to have everybody do everything for me. I couldn't go to work. I was at work, but I wasn't the work I liked, you know. I couldn't do the firewood. I was getting into the state of depression. And I could feel myself sinking into hopelessness. And I could feel that because I had an injury on my leg. Now, I was going to recover from that injury. This man would never recover from this injury. He would never recover. So he sits there. He's about 5 years old when this happens. Something happens when he's between the age of 17 and 20. If you'll flip over to 2 Samuel chapter number... excuse me. Chapter number 9. Verse number 1. Something happens to him. And David said in verse number 1, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may..." Hallelujah. Glory to God. "That I may show the kindness of God unto him." And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said, "Where is he?" I want to repeat that again. And the king said, "Where is he? Where I know where he's at, but I want you to bring him to me. Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel and Lodabar." That don't matter. That don't matter. Ziba, you trying to give me an excuse? That don't matter. Bring him to me. I don't care where he's at. Bring him to me. And hurry up. Amen? Then the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. I want you to watch that. Fetched him out of the house. He called him out of the comfort zone that he was in. Come on, somebody. He called him out of that comfort zone where he called him out of his own pity party. Amen. I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to die, Lord. That's where I'm going to be. Spiritually, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to die because I'm happy. The devil's leaving me alone and I ain't doing nothing for God, because every time I do, the devil attacks me and I'm tired of that devil. That ain't the way to be. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 6, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. Verse 7, "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore..." Come on, somebody. "And will restore thee, oh hallelujah, all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed. Now watch this. "And he bowed himself, and he said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Now I read this afternoon, and it got a hold to me. He didn't call himself a dog. He called himself a dead dog. "That you would look upon a dead dog as me. God, I've been sitting right here, and I love you, Lord, but I've been sitting right here in Lodabar. You've been in Lodabar for a little too long. It's time to get out of Lodabar. It's time to wake yourself up. Get out of the cave and get out of Lodabar. Come on, there's some Mephibosheths in this room that need to get out of Lodabar. That you need to get out of that household. That you need to come, because God's going to show you favor for His Father's sake. Why? Because you're His child. Because you're His child. "Is there not yet but one left? ain't there one person that'll stand up? Because see, we just read in Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Even if you're a Mephibosheth, goodness and mercy is following right behind you. Let me tell you something. When you're walking and you stop real fast, mercy and goodness is going to overtake. Oh, hallelujah. It's going to overtake. God is going to overtake you. Somebody needs to let surely goodness and mercy overtake them. You need to let that wave of glory just overtake you. Just let it encompass you. Let it just drown your being out. Amen. That goodness and mercy. And watch what he says right here. I'm going to restore you. Thank God for restoration. I say it again. Thank God for restoration. Oh, hallelujah. He took me from a dry place and He restored my soul. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. He might not did it for you, but He did it for me. He restored my soul. I'm telling you something. There's a river of life that's flowing out of me, and He restored my soul. Hallelujah. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for restoration. He restored my soul. Hallelujah. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now that's restoration. That's restoration. David said, God, I messed up, and I got to have help. Restore me, God. And God restored him. But watch what else he says. In verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Some people in here have got some things that were stole from them. And it's time that you reclaim the property that was stole from you. It's time that you stand up and you say, you know what, devil, you're not taking my kids. You know what, devil, you're not taking my health. You know what, devil, you're not taking my church. You know what, devil, you're not taking my family. Hallelujah. I'm standing up. I had a preacher friend of mine in Florida. He would say, it's time to put a stop down. Put a stop down and said, devil, you ain't going no further than that right there. You ain't going no further than that right there. Joshua, he drew a line in the sand. He said, if you're going to cross this line, you're going to be with God. If you're going to stay over there, you're going to be against Him, because that's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. So if you want to cross the line or not, it's up to you. And I'm not going to hold no hard feelings. But if you want to cross the line, get on the right side. Get on the right side of the road. Amen. It's time we stand up. It's time we reclaim what the devil's tried to steal. He restored, you see, He restored everything. Mephibosheth thought he lost it all. He was at the cave. He was there. He was under the juniper tree, and he had been there for quite a while. He looked around. Nothing ever changed. It was the same every day. And every day a part of him died. Every day a little bit more of him died. Every day he lost hope a little bit more. And every day he felt himself give up a little more. We as Christians, if we don't get under the fire, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You can sit there and be Mephibosheth all you want, but get up. Get up. The Bible never says that Mephibosheth was ever healed. When he got to heaven, I'm sure he was. But the Bible says he was never healed. I got to thinking about that. My sister sang, sometimes it takes a mountain. God, if it takes me being lame on both feet to be close to you, God, make me lame on both feet. Whatever it takes, Lord. God, let me get my pride out of the way. And let me get close to you. God, if there's anything in between me and you, I want it to be gone. God, I want you. God, I want you. I want you. That's all I want, Lord, is you. And we reach out to Him. And He reaches out to us. The Bible says the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. God reaching down to man. Thank God that we have a high priest that we can go to when we're hurting. Sometimes it takes years for that hurt to fully develop. Sometimes you hold it in and that hurt becomes bitterness. Becomes anger at times. And you don't know how to deal with it. They'll tell you the first sign of recovery is recognizing there's a problem. When I look in the mirror, I see me. God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need. God, draw me closer. Draw me near. Whatever's in the way, get it out of the way. Overtake me, Lord. Use me for your glory. Amen. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you'll stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to sing that because it's on my heart. If you're here in this place and you feel the message was for you, let me assure you, nobody's going to look down upon you. We want God to touch you because He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can help you. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hand, Lord, take my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Take my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Amen. God bless you, Brother Eddie.